Good evening. Let's all stand together. We'll sing hymn number 296. 296.
All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to rest beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divine is comfort, here by faith begin to
steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me. Lo, a spring of joy I see, gushing from the rock before me. Lo, a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of His love, perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit clothed immortal wings its flight to realms of my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way.
Be seated. We'll sing hymn number 475. 475.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through His infinite blood.
Good evening. Let's all turn together and read from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Let's pray. Our kind and gracious and merciful Heavenly Father, we bow before you tonight, first of all, to give you thanks. Thank you for your grace and mercy given us in Christ, our Lord, our Redeemer. Thank you for the word that we come tonight to hear proclaimed and preached, the word that is life, it's living, it's life itself, that speaks of Christ our life. Lord, we come as weary travelers. Awaken our hearts and our minds. Shut out the things of this life, of this world, the things that so easily distract us and weigh us down. Send your Spirit among us, Lord. Speak to this one you've sent to us, Brother Cody. Speak peace to our hearts. Speak comfort and give us assurance. Give us faith to believe your word. Give us faith to trust Christ for everything. Help us to lay a hold upon him tonight. Establish us in the grace of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. teach us and instruct us. Lord, we don't want to be left to our own will and our own way. We come and look to you to guide us, to instruct us, to teach us from your word. And we pray that your will be done. Give us grace to submit to your will. Give us grace to bow. And Lord, we, by your grace, do that very thing. We bow at your feet, acknowledge our need of Christ, our need of salvation, our need to be kept, our need to be provided for. Lord, you must provide everything that we need. We surely can't provide for ourselves. We pray for our loved ones, our children, and our grandchildren as they live their lives without you. We ask that you'd intervene in their lives. Go to them and speak to them. Stir their hearts, trouble their minds and their hearts that would cause them to come and sue for mercy at the feet of Christ. We pray for our preacher tonight, Brother Cody. Thank you for him. Thank you you've enabled him to come. Bless him as he blesses us, we pray. And we know that he's looking to you. You must anoint him. You must give him grace to speak freely. And we ask, Lord, that you'd be with him as he preaches to us from your blessed word. We pray for those that can't be here, that are afflicted. Ask that you'd visit them and speak peace to their hearts. Enable them to endure the affliction that you've sent their way. Lord, come and visit with us in this hour of worship. Exalt your Son. Lift him up in our midst. Give us eyes to see him afresh. Renew our hearts and our minds. And help us to worship and honor him who alone is worthy. In his dear name we pray. Amen.
Number 29 in our course books. 29 in our course books.
Wondrous attraction.
It's our pleasure to have you again this evening, Brother Cody. You come on and bring whatever the Lord's put on your heart.
Hit the red button.
Good evening. If you will, open your Bibles with me back to where we were this morning, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And I want to make a comment on that song we just sang. I had never heard that in my life until coming here years ago, and I have memories of Brother Gary leading us in that song, and that is no doubt one of my favorite songs. I wish every worship service I'm a part of, we would sing that song. Love that song. It's all about the Christ of the cross. Let's sing of Him and cling to Him. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we'll start in verse 1 again. Solomon here writes, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together." That's how far we got this morning. We touched on all that this morning. We acknowledge that we're sinners in the hands of a holy, sovereign God. And that same God, who is just and must punish all sin, is a God of love who delights to show mercy to all guilty sinners who need it. All that need will find all their need met in the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw that our only hope of being saved from our sin is in the Lord Jesus Christ, who bore our suffering. He bore our stoning on the cross when He poured out His very soul unto death in our place. Verse 5 goes on to say that there is a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Now, there's a lot we can learn from this, but I'll just say this. There's a time to embrace God's word and to refrain from embracing this world. There's a time when for every one of God's children, we'll find ourselves doing that. We will find in ourselves something that was not there before. Naturally, we love the world. God says, love not the world, neither the things in it. And when he saves us, yes, this flesh still likes the things of the world. But the new man, the new spirit, the new heart that the Lord creates in his people desires his word. We love his word. And we despise ourselves for naturally loving this world. That's the difference. There's a time to embrace God's word and refrain from embracing this world. There's a time to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. We didn't. We didn't before. But in God's appointed time, his people will embrace him and stop embracing self. That's what we naturally embrace is self. Me, me, me. And child of God, embrace this. Embrace his precious promises to you. You read about it in Hebrews 11. Oh, the precious promises that our fathers of old embraced. They saw them afar off and they embraced them. They were trusting in them, holding on. Fast onto them. We're standing on those very promises, brethren, the promises of our God. Verse 6 says there's a time to get and a time to lose. The meaning there is a time to seek to find. That's what it means to get. And to lose is to cause to stray. There's a time to seek the Lord. Again, we didn't. And on our own, we won't. Now is the day of salvation. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. His people will. The time's been appointed when he seeks us and causes us to seek him. Seek his face. Is that not what the psalmist said? When thou saidst, seek my face, my heart cried out, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Seek his face, brethren. Seek his peace. There's peace in him. Seek his provision. Seek his strength, his mercy, his grace, his love. Seek him. May we seek him. There's a time to get. Oh, may we get him. May we win him. May we lose everything else. That's what Paul said. He lost everything else, didn't he? He said, I'm counting it all done, throwing it all out. Oh, that I may cling to Christ alone. There's a time to stray from the losing. What do we lose? Stray from trusting in ourselves. Honestly, I know that it's so for you because it's so for me. That every single day we wake up and we start thinking about ourselves. Well, I'm going to do this. Well, should I eat this? Should I go here? I honestly pray God would cause us to be more concerned with him. Honestly. Less care about myself. Oh, and may he be the true joy and delight of my heart. And yours too. May our hope be in him. Verse 6 goes on to say that there's a time to keep and a time to cast away. Spiritually, there are things we need to keep, and there are things we need to throw away. There's a time, an appointed time, for all God's people when we must cast out, throw away all our idols. And again, I am my own biggest idol. I just am. And if you're anything like me, then you are too. And there's a lot of things we idolize, a lot of things we put our time in and our hope in and our trust in. Throw it out. May God enable us to throw it out. May we keep. And again, there's a time for God's sheep when we will find ourselves keeping this. Keep his word. Hear his word. Rejoice in his word. Cling to his word. We don't live by bread alone. We think we do, don't we? Well, when I leave here, I'm going to go grab me a bite to eat. I'm going to wake up tomorrow, I'm going to find something to eat. We don't live by bread alone. Yes, it's our daily sustenance. I get it. But we live, brethren. If we have life, if we have life, true life, spiritual, eternal life, that life lives off of Christ and every word that proceeds out of his holy mouth. He's our life, isn't he? All of it. We live, move, and have our being in him. Now, there's a time when that'll mean something to us if it doesn't yet. I'm telling you. Pray it might be now. Verse 7 says, there's a time to rend and a time to sow. There is a filthy garment that needs to be rent. And there's a glorious garment that has already been sewn. The fig leaf garment of our own making needs to be rent in twain, needs to be torn apart. It was not sufficient for Adam and Eve. You remember, right? When Adam ate, they knew they were naked. They didn't know before. And then they went and found some fig leaves, sewed them together, and they tried hiding from God. How foolish. You can't hide from God. It did them no good. None at all. God made Adam confess his nakedness, confess what he'd done. Do we know what we've done? Are we aware of our nakedness? Are we aware that everything is naked and open before the eyes of him with whom we have to do? Are we aware of that? This morning, that woman caught in the act. Those Pharisees and scribes did not have to bring her physically before the Lord for him to know who and what she was. He already knew. He appointed for it to happen so he could show his glory and his goodness and his mercy. Now, like Adam and Eve, we would be foolish to try to hide behind a cloak of our own making. What that means is hide behind our own works, trusting in ourselves, not Christ. But there's a glorious garment that God has sewn. You recall, God covered Adam and Eve. He covered them with coats of skins. He killed a lamb, picturing Christ, and he covered them. He didn't say, here, put this on. He covered them. Just like the prodigal son, his father, he said, you get that robe and you put it on him. God's people have been clothed. There's a time appointed by God when God's people shall be clothed with the very righteousness of Christ. That's the garment. That's the garment we need. And I pray that's the garment we have. All right? Now, for our message, I'd like to consider the last part of verse 7 right here. It says, there is a time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to keep silence. Now, here's what that word means. It means to hush, be quiet, stop talking, hold your peace, all right? We live in a world full of very noisy religion. It's a loud, loud world. They make a lot of noise. And living in such a world, I pray God would honestly reveal to us what this means about a time to be silent. Religion loves pointing men and women to the law. And in doing so, what they're doing is pointing people to themselves. It's not about us. Nothing is about us. When we point people to the law, I don't want to say we. When false religion is pointing people to the law, they're not knowing the purpose of the law is that every mouth may be stopped, that we might become silent. All the world become guilty before God, that we might know that our... The law just shows us we're guilty. The law just shows us we're sinful. We're sinners. We can't be justified by doing or not doing and keeping and not keeping. That's not it. God forbid I stand here and point you to yourself. If you or I walk out these doors tonight looking within and instead of looking to Christ, what a shame it would be. Honestly, God forbid. Turn over just a page to chapter 5 here. Ecclesiastes 5. This is just wonderful. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 1. It says, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. First, we would do well to go to the house of God. You who are here tonight, I am tickled to see you. I'm so glad to be here with you, worshiping our God together. It's such a blessing, it's such a privilege to ever come in God's house. But we must acknowledge something. What we're doing is not about us. What we're doing is a fearful thing. Seriously. Sometimes I would hear my pastor years ago, Don Fortner, say, what I'm about to say, I deliberately wrote down to say it this way on purpose. And that what I'm about to say, I deliberately wrote down to say it this way on purpose. Okay? There are many who forsake not the assembling of themselves together, who go to church regularly, don't miss a service or rarely miss a service, but just make a mockery of God in doing so. There are many church, many avid, faithful, if you will, churchgoers who their church service, their religion is vain. It's in vain and it is vain. Vain glorying. Glorying in self rather than giving God all the praise. I mentioned religion is very noisy. When I think about what goes on in other churches, it saddens me. I assume that in many of them, there's nothing but just a religious show going on. And it saddens me to think about that. I hope I'm wrong. But based on God's word, I don't believe I am. There, our Lord came in and purged the temple. They had made his house a house of merchandise, a den of thieves. Made it all about themselves and their gain and their desires. We have come into his house. I know there's a sign, or there will be a sign, Lantana Grace Church. This is God's house. We're in his house. We've come here, gathered in his name, his holy, hallowed, reverend name. We've opened his word. I'm trying to speak to you from God's holy, infallible word. Speaking of him, we just sang songs of praise to him. This is all about him. May we take it seriously. May we do so fearfully and reverentially. May we worship. May we fall down on our face spiritually before him. We're not here to make a show. You notice what verse 1 right here said? It said, be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. I don't want to come here. I don't want to stand here and give the sacrifice of fools. And right here, clearly talking about false religion, said they consider not that they do evil. They think they're working the works of God, think they're serving God, praising God, when all they're doing is what the scribes and Pharisees did, and that's justify themselves before God, or before men. And everything they did was to be pleased of men. And they thought they were doing stuff for God. They thought they did. Oh, I don't want to be guilty of that. I honestly just want to be here to worship our God together. I just want to come here, say a few words from his word, give him all the praise, point you and me to Christ, and walk out those doors rejoicing, looking away from self and to our Lord alone. Look at verse 2 right here. It says, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven and thou upon earth, therefore let thy words be few. That right there makes me so nervous to stand here and talk, to stand here and try to preach to you, because I feel like a total fool standing here. And I read things like, be more ready to hear, be not rash with thy mouth. And right there where it says, let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything, it means any word, not one word. Before God, oh, let my words be few. There's a time to be silent, brethren. And I'll tell you this: if it weren't for God being pleased by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe, giving us faith, increasing our faith, edifying us through the preaching of Christ, if it wasn't for that, I would not dare stand here and utter one word. I would shut my mouth and sit down as fast as I can. Verse 3 says, for a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. May our words be few, and may your heart and mind be ready to hear from our God. I'm standing here talking, praying, and begging God to speak to me and through me. Turn over to Zechariah chapter 2. If your Bible's like mine, page 1170. Zechariah 2. often when we talk, the less we say, the better. I know it's certainly true for myself, casual conversation. But I really pray that the Lord might teach me and you what this means about a time to be silent and a time to speak. Look here, Zechariah 2, verse 13, the last verse. God's word says, "Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation. We must be silent before the Lord." I know we pray to him. We call out to him. That's not what it's talking about. When I read these verses, I keep coming back to how we approach God. We're gonna stand before him and tell him what we did. Oh. Let's not be hasty to utter any such foolish thing before him. Oh, may we be silent. I looked up in the concordance what the word silent right here means in this verse. It said, "Hush!" Exclamation point. Hush! Oh, all flesh. Before the Lord. It also means keep silence. We must be completely silent in our salvation. Completely silent. God alone does the speaking. He does it all. And I couldn't help but think of the Mount of Transfiguration. You recall when the Lord took Peter, James, and John up on the mount, and there appeared Moses and Elijah talking with the Lord, and Peter started talking too, didn't he? That his time to be silent came, didn't it? The Lord shut his mouth, and the Lord spoke. And here's what he said. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." What does that tell us? Hush, be silent, and hear him. The one thing needful. Do you remember what it was in the context? Mary was sitting at our Lord's feet hearing his word. She was silent. Martha, though serving, is necessary. It's necessary. It's important. But the one thing needful wasn't to go make a bunch of noise serving. It was to be quiet and to sit at his feet and hear his word. Brethren, that's what we need, is to hear him. Oh, may we hear him. "The dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." Oh, may we hear him. I would love to just sit down and hear him, but this is the means he's given by which we hear him. Turn over with me to Job chapter 40. I'd like to quickly consider God's providence in our lives. Knowing that everything happens in God's time and according to his purpose, we would be wise to trust our God and not question him. "Nay, O man, who art thou that repliest against God?" Do we not do that every day? Seriously. I'm telling you, tonight I'm going to, Lord willing, get in my car and drive home. As soon as I get stuck behind a slow car in the left lane, I know it's going to happen. I'm smiling because I know it's true. And I'm going to sit there and I'm going to clench my fist and my teeth, and then hopefully I'll think, well, it's give me patience. I'm sorry. Honestly, that right there, it seems laughable, right? But what am I doing? I'm replying against God, thinking, well, it would be better if that car was over there. Well, they'll be there when they're supposed to be. I'm serious. There's nothing too small or too great to acknowledge God's hand in things, all right? Now look here, Job said some wonderful things when the Lord first afflicted him. You remember when he said, "The Lord gave and he hath taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord." It told us there at the end of chapter 1, he sinned not with his lips. But it did not take long for the foolishness of his sinful nature to kick in, and it doesn't, does it? How often have you gotten in a dispute, maybe with your spouse, and then you apologize, And then next thing you know, you're right back where you were. It doesn't take long. How long does it take for us to be in here praising God, and like I just confessed, we walk out the doors and then we're complaining to Him? It doesn't take long. We see a whole lot of that in the book of Job. A whole lot of that. All right? But God in mercy rebuked him. Job was his child. Child of God. God rebuked him in mercy. And this right here, what we're about to read, is so encouraging to me. Look here in Job 40, verse 1. This is towards the end of the book. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, "Shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it." And then Job answered the Lord. Here's what he said. "Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth. Once have I spoken, but I will not answer, yea, twice, but I will proceed no further. Who are we to doubt God's gracious dealings with us?" You say, well, God dealt harshly with Job. The Lord had a hedge about Job. Satan only did to him what God let him do to him. He was never in a dangerous place. He was never not safely in his Savior's hands and in the Father's hands. Not once. Not even before he knew the Lord. Never. Never. Oh, may we, like Job, just put our hand over our mouth and our heart before God. See, the Lord hath not dealt with us after our sins, brethren. He hath dealt bountifully with us, graciously, mercifully, lovingly. I was going to turn and read it, but in Job 42, it's the next and last time we read of Job speaking. I do want to read it. Job 42, verse 1. "Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge?" Now look at this. "Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." And then right after that, the Lord deals graciously with Job's three friends that were miserable comforters. I don't know if the Lord saved him or not, but when I read this today, I honestly thought the Lord might have saved those men. And they were some pretty terrible friends. Let's not doubt our God's providence for us. And for others, for that matter. Let's trust Him. Oh, may we, the moment we start to murmur against Him, may God shut our mouths and turn our hearts to rejoice in His goodness. There's a time to be silent, time to keep silence, and a time to speak. Now, try to be brief. There's a time to speak, not foolishly, but wisely. There are some who we read about who ignorantly boast before God of their works. There in Matthew 7, everyone that says, "Lord, Lord," they're not all going to enter in. Because many are going to say to Him, "Lord, we've done this, we've done that, or we didn't do this." That Pharisee in the temple, I give tithes of all that I possess. I fast twice every week. A person saying such things needs to shut their mouth. God forbid we be hasty to utter anything before Him. I mean anything. That's what I said. Any word, anything. Turn over with me to Psalm 145. Psalm 145. I was going to make a comment after this, but I'm just going to read these verses and move on. All right? It speaks for itself. Psalm 145, verse 1. It's David speaking. He says, "I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. Now, there's a time to speak. Let's speak in such a way. Let's speak those things. All right? Now turn back to Psalm 71. Psalm 71. And really, all throughout the Psalms, we see a lot of wonderful things to speak. We see the wonderful message worth declaring. Psalm 71, look at verse 8. Psalm 71, 8. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. We're down to verse 15. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Let us speak his praise. Let us declare his salvation and his righteousness. There's no other salvation. There is no other righteousness. I'll make mention of thine and thine only. Now, when our Lord walked this earth, he also did some speaking. And again, just this morning when we looked at the beginning of John 8, the multitude had come to hear him early in the morning. Wouldn't you have loved to have been right there? Sometimes I get jealous when I read things like that. Oh, if I could have just been there. Or like when the Lord went to call Peter and Andrew, James and John, it says the Lord was speaking to people in a boat. Wouldn't you love to have been there? Well, our Lord spake much while he was on this earth. And I tell you this concerning his speaking. He spake as one having authority. It says people were astonished at his speakings, at his teachings, his doctrine. He didn't speak like the scribes and Pharisees. He didn't sound anything like them. You know, a stranger's voice, they're going to flee. They're not going to hear the strength. They're going to hear the shepherd's voice. And they heard him. They heard him and they believed him. They followed him. That's why they kept coming back to hear from him. We're told that gracious words constantly proceeded forth out of his mouth. I'll name you a few. Neither do I condemn thee. Glorious words, huh? I will be thou clean. Be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. You imagine the Lord telling you that face to face? Oh, I pray we might hear that from him through the preaching of his word. Now I want to show you one more thing here, something glorious, and I'll leave you with this. Turn to Isaiah chapter 53. Again, a familiar passage. I just want to read two verses here. Isaiah 53, verse 6. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, that's Christ, the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Our Lord, who has all authority, whose word is all powerful, it's effectual, it's saving. He who alone deserves to speak and be heard. We're told right here that he humbled himself to the point of being oppressed, afflicted, brought as a lamb before her shears to the slaughter. And he opened not his mouth. He was mocked. There were a lot of people making a lot of noise at the cross. Not him. He was mocked, stripped, spit upon, smitten, beaten, He was reviled. But you know what the scriptures tell us about him? Peter told us this. But he reviled not again. He opened not his mouth. He was brutally crucified between two convicted criminals, and he was in the middle. You know what that means? Signifying the worst there. That's what it signified, being in the middle. And yet he opened not his mouth. Why? Here's my conclusion. Here's, I believe, God's conclusion. It was our Lord's appointed time to keep silence. You just consider that. It was his appointed time to hold his peace. Why? Because he was made sin for us. He was made a curse for us. Made to be guilty in our place. That's why he did not open his mouth. When they said, when Pilate was contemplating letting him go, but then he caved and delivered him to the will of the people. Did our Lord start fighting and resisting? No. For this hour, he came into the world. That's why he came, was to die for his people. He came to hang between those two thieves and to save one of them. That's why he came. Nothing to say, because he knew, as our substitute, he was guilty. I don't want to elaborate on that. It feels almost blasphemous to say. But the scriptures tell us these things, that he was made sin, that he was made a curse. Clearly declare him to be our substitute, died in our place. But our Lord did cry some blessed words from the cross. I'll just mention the last ones. Right as he was bowing his head, giving up the ghost, you remember what he said? It is finished. Oh, praise God, the time to speak. Oh, what glorious words he spoke as he was departing this earth. And yet we know 3 days later he was coming back. And I'll leave you with this. I'll just quote a couple things here. After his resurrection, when he was on the road to Emmaus, he just joined himself to some disciples there. And they were so sad, and we thought it was him that was going to redeem Israel. And just devastated. And he comes up to them. They didn't even know who it was. They thought he was a stranger in Jerusalem. Here's what he said. He said, "Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And then after he asked that question, it says that he expounded unto them, beginning at Moses and the prophets, in the Psalm, in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. There's a time to keep silence, brethren. Oh, and praise God, there's a time to speak. May God silence us, and not just one time, but continually. And may he be pleased to speak to us for the first time, and as long as we're meant to be here, may he be pleased to speak to us the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Praise God. Let's have a word of prayer. Oh, our gracious God and King, we bow before you again in humility. Lord, would you allow us to truly be silenced? Would you silence us? Would you just cause us to hear from you? So much noise in this world and in our lives, and we create so much of it. Lord, would you just stop us and speak to us. Speak life to us. Speak the word and power to us. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Oh, Lord, would you be pleased to continue to bring us before you to hear from you, from your word. Comfort us with it. Speak life and faith to us. Oh, how desperately we need to hear from you continually, daily, every word that you have to say. Lord, we have so many loved ones that don't know you. Please speak to them as you've spoken to us. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Lord, who are we? Oh, Christ is all and in all. May we be found in him. Lord, save us for his sake. Bless these dear saints. Thank you for this opportunity to come worship you today. May you bless your word as you see fit. Direct our steps and forgive us and continue to bring us back to Christ. It's in his glorious name we pray. Amen.
He's the Savior of my soul, Jesus, my Jesus. He's the Savior of my soul. He's the Savior of my soul. Jesus, 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 Jesus. He's the Savior of my soul. He's the Savior of my soul.
Thank you, brother. What a blessing. As far as I know, Lord willing, our pastor will be back with us next Sunday morning. So we'll meet again then. You're dismissed. Have a good week.